Brian Palmer is your consummate journalist. He's worked as a staff writer at Fortune magazine, Beijing bureau chief for U.S. News and World Report, and correspondent for CNN. None of that prepared him for the war in Iraq. Palmer embedded with the 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines, three times between 2004 and 2006. His documentary film about his embed experience is called Full Disclosure. And Strange Champs asked Palmer why he chose to embed with U.S. troops in Iraq.
I felt like it was important to be on the ground documenting what U.S. troops were doing in my name. Some of my heroes are war reporters, and I'd never covered a war before. I'd covered Afghanistan as a guy behind a microphone, and I felt that, what can I do as a journalist? I can provide boots-on-the-ground accountability. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to do.
I'm sure before you went, you talked with people, you'd probably seen other reports from other embedded reporters. I would bet that there were still things that surprised you once you got there. What was most surprising?
I found the embedded reporting during the war to be, I keep falling back on the word problematic, but it's a lot of it seemed like cheerleading. And I felt like a lot of the reportage I was seeing on the tube was cheerleading. There were all these profiles of glossy and shiny weapon systems. And anybody knows what war is about. War is about where bullets meet bodies. We can talk politics, we can talk patriotism, but fundamentally, if you're not dealing with that issue, then you're not really doing what you should be doing.
Fire! Cease fire! Gentlemen! Let's go, move! Go,
go! Go right! So you've been back for a while, and you've decided to make a documentary about your experiences. And for that, you've been following one man in particular, Marine Staff Sergeant Marino. Why did you choose him?
I felt like he was a good man. I felt like he genuinely had the respect of the young men under him. I mean, I started going out on patrols with him when he was 24 years old. He's now 27. And I just found myself wanting to know more about him and really wanting to see how a good, honorable, and disciplined Marine conducted himself under these circumstances, given that really I felt he was in an untenable position. And that's not me coming with whatever predisposition or biases I had before the war. This is observing Marines on the ground during several dozen combat patrols, routine patrols. I felt like they were improvising as best they could. They didn't speak Arabic. They hadn't been trained to do the incredibly complicated civil military sort of stuff that they were trying to do. And Marino always did his best. He respected people, and I just found that what better example of an American in Iraq than someone like this?
I think you also said at one point, maybe in your blog, maybe in your film, that with him you had the sense you probably wouldn't die.
Yeah, and that may sound sort of flippant, but it's absolutely true. And there's really not much more to say than that. I don't think I understood that until after I came back. I don't think I understood that until my, 12th or 15th interview with David Marino, when I realized, my God, this man would have given his life for me, which is not a responsibility I would have wanted. But it was one that he accepted as soon as he took me out on that first patrol in the city of Musayib, four-man patrol in a volatile city that was beset with bombings and all sorts of terrible things. His commanding officer dumped him on me, and he accepted.
I'm curious, you have such sympathy for Sergeant Marino, and yet you were there as a reporter, embedded with this unit, and therefore, having a serious relationship with these guys. You walked around with them all the time. Some of them saved your life. It must have been pretty hard to hold on to any sense of objectivity. And how did that affect your reporting?
Well, there's a scene in the film. There's a firefight. I'm with Marino and his radio operator and his corpsman, people shooting. He's trying to get them to stop shooting. And sort of as this event draws to a climax, I videotape Staff Sergeant Marino firing two rounds into a man. You don't see the man, but you see him fire someone laying in a ditch.
Be careful! Get out! Get out! brush, sir!
Hey! There's a guy right here on the brush. He's right in there. I shot him in the face a couple times.
Awesome.
Are you on the edge?
Right here, sir.
Yeah, he's got a weapon still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't tell if he's got anything on him, sir.
Don't get any closer.
He's dead.
He's pretty much done. I give him one more to the head, sir.
Do it.
Watch out. Go ahead with it.
He's done.
Let's push.
Six mobiles, three.
The battalion's executive officer asked me to show him the footage I shot of the firefight. I said sure, as a courtesy to him and to the Marines who kept me alive. I don't have a problem with any of this video, the XO told me, except for the 10 seconds where Staff Sergeant Marino fires those last two rounds into the guy lying in the ditch. Taken out of context, he said, people back home won't know that the man might have been strapped with C4. A plastic explosive that could have killed Marines and you. And he said, I'd appreciate it if you didn't use that video. I can't tell you what to do. It's your call, but I'd appreciate it.
So what did you decide to do?
It will be in the film, and I've talked to Staff Sergeant Marino about it. I said to him, are you comfortable with me airing everything that we've done, everything that I've seen you do over these 3+ years, and he said, absolutely.
What would you have done if he'd said no?
The first thing is I probably would have gone back on my pledge, you know, to quit drinking. But I would have honored his request. Bottom line, I would have honored his request. I mean, it's a very, very, very difficult thing and probably not the best thing for a journalist to do, but yeah, that's probably where I would have gone.
Were there times... Have there ever been times when you censored yourself? You know, when you turned the camera off, walked away, didn't ask the question that you knew you probably should?
Yes, ma'am, would be the short response to that. My very first day in country, July 2004, there was a mortar attack. It was my first time in a war zone. Mortars, you know, they're little bombs that are fired from 2 or 3 miles away. They explode and throw shrapnel. So I was actually sort of pushed to the bottom of a bomb shelter by a bunch of Marines. And then when things calmed down, I followed the master sergeant of the unit that I was with, the company that I was with, into the battalion aid station. And there was a Marine lying on the floor in a pool of blood. And corpsmen were working on him. And one of the Marines to my left screamed as I picked my still camera up to my face and screamed, what the F is he doing here? And we had a little exchange, and then I decided voluntarily to leave. I didn't shoot the picture of that young Marine, kid from Chatham, New Jersey, who bled out. He died. And I wrote about that in a blog. I sort of agonized, and I got an email from the dead Marine's mother who said, I think you made the right choice by not photographing my son die. I know that would have been the right choice for her. I still don't know to this day, I mean, whether I made the right decision. I don't know if there is a right decision. I don't think there is a right decision.
Brian Palmer embedded with the 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines, three times between 2004 and 2006. His documentary film is called Full Disclosure. He spoke with Anne Strainchamps.